hour at 6 when Mike Florio joins the show, we'll be giving away a pair of Caps tickets to a listener. You'd better be listening right at 6 o'clock. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We're brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Commanders pick 7th. We've spent a few weeks talking about the possibilities. We've got a pretty good beat on who the best players available might be at various positions there. Now we're starting to get some intel as the roster takes shape on where they're going to need help and where they may not. We wanted to reset and ask you, as of right now, and things could change, maybe they trade for Brian Thomas Jr. and they sign Brandon Ayuk, and next thing you know, you don't need a receiver, and so you take Carnell Tate's name out of the equation. We'll reassess and have that conversation then. But for this moment, wave one of free agency is it behind us in the rear view. They added 3 edges, a linebacker, a D-tackle, a corner, a safety. They bring in a tight end and a running back. What would you do with the 7th pick based on what they've done in free agency, and what do you think they will do? Those are the questions. We'll open up the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. So, Danny, I think the best way to go through this first is just to look at the top of the draft board. So, let's first go through names that we know won't be there. Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback's not of interest to them anyway because they have Jaden Daniels, but he's also the one pick that we kind of already know.
Yeah.
He's going to go 1-1 to the Vegas Raiders. Big 6'5", 236-pound quarterback out of Indiana. The Jets pick 2nd, and the assessment has been throughout that they're going to go edge. I don't think anything we've seen in free agency changes that. And the question is, do they go David Bailey out of Texas Tech or Arvil Reese out of Ohio State?
The name I've most seemed mocked to them in, you know, informal survey of my own, just looking at stuff, is Arvil Reese.
Well, let's just say one of the edges go, and for the sake of the conversation right now, we're going to rule Arvil Reese out.
Done and done.
The Cardinals pick 3rd. I've seen some places now suggesting maybe Jeremiah Love could come off the board here. But the Cardinals, hey, James Conner, they went and brought in a running back in Tyler Allgeier, who they paid pretty good money to. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for me for them to go running back. I think they probably go offensive tackle here, go with the big man out of Miami.
Maui Noah?
So, yeah, if they go Maui Noah, now he's gone. Also not of interest to Washington. That doesn't help the Commanders any, but I think it's realistic. We'll just say that that happens. The Titans, to me, are where the whole thing begins at 4. Because the sexy noise right now is that Jeremiah Love, the running back, goes to Tennessee, 4th overall, and they add a weapon for Cam Ward. Could you see that happening?
Yes. So, this is twofold. One, you know, this is such a playmaker, they could go down that road. But two, they've really beefed up their defense. They've gone out in free agency and spent an awful lot on that side of the ball, most specifically.
And in addition to spending on that side of the ball, they also brought in some really familiar faces to Robert Saleh from his time with the Jets. But listen to what they've done in free agency. Jermaine Johnson and John Franklin Myers on their D-line, as well as Jacob Martin, Jordan Elliott, and Solomon Thomas. They've signed 5 guys in the last 3 days just on the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Williams, who is a cornerback, and another corner, Cordell Flott from the Giants. They've also brought in Alante Taylor, who's a nickel corner from New Orleans. So 3 corners, 5 defensive linemen. I think Malik Herring came over as well. So it's actually 9 players they've signed on defense. Now, they did bring in a new slot receiver in Wandell Robinson, bunch of money there. And they brought in a new starting center in Austin Schlottman, the former New York Giants. So they got 2 new starters. They've got 3 backups that they brought in. Mitch Trubisky at quarterback behind Cam Ward. Daniel Bellinger, the tight end, to go along with Gunnar Helm. That's a need for them still after losing Okonkwo. And Cordell Volson, a backup guard. They've spined a lot of guys, by the way. Damn.
Yeah. They were very busy. When you're terrible picking at the top of the draft board, you probably should be very busy in free agency.
So they could go in any direction. I'm not willing, though, to say we know. Like, in the case of Reese or Bailey, you kind of have a pretty good feel that the Jets are going to take an edge. I don't think we know enough about the Titans to cross somebody off the list.
I don't feel definitive or comfortable saying there's no way they do X? Because again, a lot of these signings on the defensive line, you know, John Franklin Myers isn't exactly an edge. He's kind of like a half defensive tackle, maybe a little bit of an edge in certain passing downs. So I don't think anybody there that they went and got would preclude you from taking David Bailey, for example, if they were smitten. I don't think anybody on offense, even including Wandell Robinson, would preclude them from taking Carnell Tate if they were in love. I don't think anybody would stop them from going, hey, you can't take Jeremiah Love. They might just do that. Again, it's Tony Pollard is not in the way of anybody.
But if the Titans were to go Jeremiah Love, which is kind of the rumor, or the it's not
that's the buzz
rumor.
Now.
The buzz is the right word. The Giants have been linked to Sonny Styles. I think they could go in a lot of directions, but let's just say they took Sonny Styles, which would be a total bummer. Then the math starts to get tricky for both Reese and Bailey to be gone. Then one of those guys could absolutely fall to Washington. Let's say one went to the Jets at two.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals took a tackle. You got the Titans and the Giants taking Love and Styles. Then the Browns are at six. Cleveland could go tackle. They could go interior offensive lineman and take the best in the country. They could absolutely go defense, but it would be a little surprising, I would say, for them to go edge. I mean, then all of a sudden, are we talking about Bailey or Reese falling into the Commander's lap?
100%. That scenario that you just laid out is a very reasonable one, especially if Cleveland goes offensive line. Maybe Spencer Fano, if he's there, whether it's a tackle or guard, doesn't matter. They need help in that regard, and I've seen him mock to them a bunch, which then, you start doing the math. David Bailey, the scenario we just ran, is there at seven.
See, I think that the way that they spent at edge, I think their intel suggests that both of the ends are gone, that Reese and Bailey don't get to them. But if one of them does, this is going to be weird because I think a lot of listeners aren't going to love this. I think you should still take one of them.
Me too.
And I like Bailey more than Reese just because I've seen it, and I'm not a scout, so it's harder for me to project. I'm like the kind of guy that if I walk into a house and I see the finished product and I'm like, oh, this is what it looks like. I want to buy this. This is great. I don't want to walk in when it's just like boards and they're like, this is where the kitchen will be. And then this counter is going to be amazing. This is where the island's going to be.
Yeah, I can't do it. I get no joy from HGTV when my wife watches.
I don't have
I can't.
Vision.
I can't do that. We knock down this wall. What do you mean knock down the wall?
So you could tell Arville Reese is like, this is where the bathroom's going to be, guy. You know, this is where you're going to be able to sit in a recliner here. And I'm like, let me see what it looks like when it's built. That's David Bailey. So I prefer him. But one of those two guys could still be there. So getting back to Washington, I just wanted to go through the exercise of what's in front of them. Raiders, Jets, Cardinals, Titans, Giants, Browns, and then Washington's on the clock at seven. Do you agree with me that even though they signed three edges, they could absolutely still take one if those two guys, one of them gets there? Because those are still two maybe of the best four or five players in the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you said, it might irritate some people, but the draft is not for this year. The draft is a player control, if it all goes according to plan, which I would hope it would, for 5 years.
By the way, Kalyvon Chaisson might have 2.5 sacks and be a disappointment.
Yeah.
He's also not under contract beyond this year.
With all due respect to Dorrance Armstrong and Devontae John Baptiste and whoever else, there is nobody on this roster that would stop me from drafting David Bailey.
Well, I'll go one step further. The only guy on this roster that's even under contract into next season, who's notable, is Adafe Owa that they're just paying this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you drafted David Bailey there, then you just have Owe and Bailey as your bookend edges for years to come, and let's go get the quarterback. So, yeah, I'm going to say edge is still very much on the table. They signed Rashad White today. You and I said at the time, and I'm going to go hard in the paint on this, I don't think that changes really anything about the willingness to take Jeremiah Love. If you're taking him, it's not because of you need a running back. That would be the last reason in the world that you're bringing Jeremiah Love in. If you're taking him, it's because you love Love. If you're taking him, it's because you just think he's so special and so unique and such a game changer, and he's such a, you know, where did David Blough come from? What offense is he trying to run? Ben Johnson in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's Jahmyr Gibbs. I want my Jahmyr Gibbs. So if you really think that's what he is, you just can't not take this guy because you don't want to see Jahmyr Gibbs with another team if that's who you think he is, then you take him. And that does not change based on a Rashad White addition or not.
No. So, again, in that scenario we just laid out, that did include Caleb Downs, which you already mentioned, but I want to double down on that. So even if the second edge goes David Bailey, you still have Reuben Bain, Caleb Downs on the defensive side. Now, I know Washington's gone out and done a ton on defense this offseason. That's great. All in favor of it. They needed that overhaul. But we also don't know what the eval is on Bain, if they care about short arm gate or not, if they don't care exactly what position he's going to play or not. He could be the heir apparent to Daron Payne. He could be the heir apparent to Dorrance Armstrong. I don't know what they might have for him. They might have him off their board because he can't have less than 31-inch arms. And it's unfathomable and period, end of story, or they don't care. They'll figure out something to do with him. That's all up to eye of the beholder.
So this is just me. I have stopped even considering Ruben Bain at number 7, and it's not because of the arms. It's just this is, again, my own proclivity, and it's very specific to just how I'm seeing the world in this draft. I've never really thought of him at number 7, but also Reese and Bailey are the two guys at that position that I go, got to have it. To me, there's a gap between them and Bain. They may not view it that way. You're right. And I think Bain will definitely be there when they pick. I also feel that way about, you just said Caleb Downs.
Yeah, I think Downs will be too.
I think Downs is going to be there. I would actually be is stunned too strong. Yeah, I think I'd be really, really surprised.
So the wild cards to me for him not being there are, talking about Downs, are Tennessee, the Giants, and Cleveland.
All three of the teams in front of them.
The three teams in front of them. And here's why I bring them up. These are, they've got their own drum that they're marching to, right? They think your mock draft is cute. They're doing their own thing. I could see Carnell Tate, for example, going 5 to the Giants because they're so desperate for somebody, for Jackson Dart to throw it to. I could see a million different scenarios, and I think unpredictability is the name of the game. I don't expect this to go chalk for a couple of reasons. One, those teams are always picking at the top of the draft for a reason. And two, this is not a look at the how unbelievably strong this first group of 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 guys are and then a major drop-off. This is kind of like the soup. Everybody's got something.
I think the chances that Reese is there is sub 50%.
Yep.
The chance that Bailey's there is sub 50%. The chance that Love is there, I would put right at 50%. And then I would say the chance that Ruben Bain is there, well over 50.
Yeah, I think it's like 80.
Over 50.
60, 70, something like that.
So then let's answer the question we're teeing up for listeners, and then we'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067. By the way, I think the chance Carnell Tate's there is like 85-90%.
Yeah, I think it's
I'll even go higher. 90-95% maybe. But if you were picking at 7, based on what they've done in free agency so far, it's a two-parter. What would you do? What do you think they do? So we'll start with what do you think they do? They're on the clock right now. And it's a fluky exercise, odd exercise, because it's all going to change. But what do you think they would do right now, this moment at 7? In a world where, I got to tell you who's left, Love is still there, Downs is still there, and we'll say Bailey got to them somehow.
Then I think they do Bailey.
All right, now let's say Bailey's gone.
Then I think they'll take Love.
You think they will?
I do.
What would you do at 7?
Bailey 1, Downs 2, Tate 3. That'd be my top 3.
Okay.
For that.
I think for me, Styles is the guy I most want. So if he's there, I take him. If Sonny Styles is gone, I'm assuming the edges are gone. Bailey and Reese. If Bailey's there, he's next on my list, I'd take him. But I'm assuming they're gone. So now it's Love versus Downs. That's where I said this earlier in the show.
It's a hard one, yeah.
That's the one I can't really square very well. But I think I would probably go with Love over Downs. I think earlier in the show I might have said the other way. Like, it's quite literally 50-50.
It depends on what you had to eat recently or what you drank.
And honestly, it'll be determined by what they do the rest of the way and what's under contract.
Oh, that's true, too.
You know, what next year's free agency looks like, stuff like
so
that.
So just for the sake of the exercise, I did mine assuming there's no Styles. Let's say Styles is there. He's right behind Bailey for me. So I would go Bailey, Styles, then Downs as my 3.
So the answer to the question, though, is what are you hoping they do at 7? Maybe that's a better way to drill down. 800-636-1067. Based on what they've done, their biggest need is wide receiver. You know, running back came into the day as their second biggest need. They've signed Rashad White. That doesn't change everything, but it certainly makes it less of a necessity to go out and add and upgrade. Post-free agency, Danny, what do you hope they do there?
My hope is, I know this is so cheesy and such a cop-out. No, my hope is, because they took the pressure that it's such a good job in free agency, they could take the best player available. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't have to worry about position anywhere near as much. I'm sitting there. If they had taken a running back and not done any of the work on defense, I'd go, what are you doing? Like, your house is burned down, and you just got nice drapes.
Well, but I don't feel that way anymore. Need right now at a wide receiver is probably corner.
Yeah,
What about Mansoor Delane?
I just don't love him at that spot. And again, we talked about this a bunch. In 10 years, no one's going to remember that he went four or five spots after a certain person.
Well, it's also odd, though, because everyone's got the receivers way further down the board. You don't mind going, you know, drafting them earlier than what's different between that and corner? Corner is just as expensive in free agency.
Corner is very expensive.
Marquee spot.
I don't see him as the. I mean, again, he's good. He's productive, and he's going to go help somebody. I don't know. I don't feel the same way. To me, like the way offense is versus Dronte Jones' scheme of just hang out right there and play some press. We're going to get to the quarterback versus anybody can come sprinting up against them on defense and tackle them close to the line of scrimmage because they have no deep threat right now. I need a weapon on the opposite side of Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, so I'm not taking a corner, just to answer what I asked you, in the top 10. That's not happening after going with Jones and playing a different-looking scheme. Because of what you just said, part of why I went with this scheme is so I don't have to spend that asset or massive money at cornerback. But that doesn't mean I'm opposed, you know, to positions where typically you don't want to spend an early pick. Like, my guys are an inside
this draft,
linebacker.
Yeah, because this draft is different. It is.
It's completely different. What's cool is I think a lot of people, and I'm one of them, can be okay with plenty of options here.
Mm-hmm.
If you find out they took Tate or Love or Styles or Bailey or anything else, like, I think you go, yeah, I totally get that.
Well, anyway you do it, let's say for the sake of argument, all that Reese and Bailey are gone, it probably means Styles fell. Let's say Styles isn't there, it probably means Bailey fell. Like, let's say...
Because there's only so many spots.
Right. Yeah, all those guys are going, okay, sorry, consolation prize is Caleb Downs. Ooh, yeah. Wah, you know?
That went really badly because it means, like, the Browns didn't take a lineman.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Cardinals will, but maybe the Cardinals don't, and now only one lineman goes, or zero, and now you are a little closer to getting screwed, possibly. Looking at the number 7 pick is what we're doing here after wave one of free agency in a pretty strong haul for the Commanders so far. It would feel less likely that they go Edge, Bailey, or Reese. It feels a little more likely that they would go wide receiver Tate or Lemon, maybe running back Love. And mostly unchanged, I would say, still quality options, Styles at linebacker, Downs at safety. What do you think about that 7th pick based on what we've seen from Adam Peters over the last 72 hours? Because you'd imagine he's got a big picture plan here where he'd like to set himself up to do whatever they've already kind of decided would make sense at 7. With how they're spending, what does this inform us that they might be thinking about that pick? Grant and Danny on the Fan. In light of 10 free agents having been added and new starters in 5 spots on defense, on offense bringing in Chigakonkwo at tight end and Rashad White in the backfield, how do you feel like Washington's draft plans have changed at number 7? What do you think is more and less likely now? It would seem to make sense. It's less likely they go edge, more likely they go wide receiver. What's unchanged? You know, inside linebacker style, safety Downs, maybe running back Love. We want your calls. 800-636-1067. Let's go to PJ and Reston on G&D. What's up, PJ?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on there. I agree, like, maybe even 100%, not 99%, with everything that you guys are saying. Thank God, what an A-plus job Adam Peters did to set us up for the draft like this. The part that gets me the most excited is in all my nerdy pre-drafting I was doing on the ChatGPT, I kept going for 2 edge rushers and avoiding, like, a Hendrickson but getting 2 younger guys. And every defensive player to a T he took is, like, basically what I was hoping for. So that sets us up for the draft. And what I would like to do is this, right? As far as realistically who's going to be there, I would, for me personally, Sonny Styles is the top guy I want. Then if Bailey falls, Bailey, and then Jeremiah Love. And then Caleb Downs. All we need is, like, one of the people before us to take offensive linemen. We're set up perfectly. And then the only other thing is...
But PJ, do you think what they've done in free agency through these 4 days changes anything? Like, do you move any positions up or down the board because of that, or... You still draft the exact same way.
So what I think is done, I think it's changed it to where we can now truly take the BPA, best player available.
That's kind of the goal.
I agree, and appreciate the calls always, man. I think, again, I know I sound like a broken record. That's the beauty of this free agency haul, is now the pressure's off. Imagine they'd missed on Chenault. Then they missed on Chigakonko because someone outbid them. And now you're going into the draft with, you know, a couple other holes going, my God, if they don't end up with blank, we're screwed. That's not the scenario now. That's not on there.
This is the one thing they did really well the last two off seasons too, even though the additions were not as good and the money they spent wasn't on youth or speed and they didn't make nearly the number of impactful moves because they signed so many guys. And by the way, they're just getting started here. Mm-hmm. From a sheer quantity standpoint, they're going to add
dozens more coming. Yeah,
12 to 15 players before the draft who are probably going to touch the field next year at various roles. They just have to. I mean, again, they only have three cornerbacks on their entire roster. They still need another two, three, four wide receivers that are going to play this season. That's all still TBD. But when you go out and you're as aggressive as they are, we were just going through all the guys the Tennessee Titans signed as an example. I think they're at a dozen players in free agency in this league year through 4 days or whatever that they've agreed to terms with. It now allows you to do a little bit more of what you want to do in the draft and less of what you need to do. Ashes in Silver Spring. Has anything changed for you at number 7 based on the haul?
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, buddy.
You know, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the show, I would have said love at 7 for sure. I think White doesn't, you know, exclude Love from the conversation. But, you know, say if like one of the defensive ends there are Reese or Bailey, I'd take them. But if Sonny Styles is there, you know, Leo Chenault is one of the premier young outside linebackers of the game. You get Sonny Styles in there, you know, you shore up that middle. But I think you can't go wrong with Sonny, Love, or Downs. It's like a 1A, BC type situation.
Appreciate you. I also think this, it's a good phone call. If they go 34, you can't have enough linebackers. And I know we're talking about edges, different position, which they just signed a bunch of.
Right, off ball versus on.
You know, those guys are like, you know, coming off the line of scrimmage, basically. But still, like if you're running a 43 where it's like three legit off-ball linebackers, they've done that here. There's really never three linebackers on the field in that look anyway. But Chenault is a guy that can play all over, move all over. The Chiefs had him at multiple levels of the defense. And if you were to draft Sonny Styles, you would turn him into that type of player instead of being the green dot. As far as the idea that he, at the beginning of the day, said go get Love, and now because they signed Rashad White, he's not as convinced they need to. I mean, the Bucs had Rashad White as a guy they just drafted in the third round, and they turned around and drafted Bucky Irving and immediately supplanted White with him for an 1,100-yard rookie season. So he's a fine player. There's a role you can carve out for him, but this is not a guy that is of the caliber that now you don't think about going and getting a stud. In other words, Jeremiah Love would be the best player available in the running back market. See Kenneth Walker for the Chiefs,
right?
But at a lot less money. It's like half the money for Kenneth Walker. Would you turn that down because your starting running back is Rashad White? No, you would not do that if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate in Lynchburg, you're on the Fan. What's good?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Come in.
Good, hey. So I think they go BPA. Love, Tate, Styles, Downs. I'm happy with all of them. What I'd love to see them do, though, I'd love to see them take that 9 and 29 from the Chiefs, take the BPA from whoever's left at 9, take 29, flip it, maybe some more noodles, throw it at the wall, see what sticks type of thing. I'd love to see that. Or even trade 29 for BTJ, reuniting with Daniels. I think that would feed generations. You know what I mean?
Appreciate you.
Thanks, dude.
So I'm going to look up a draft chart, and there's no one gospel chart to see if 9 and 29 for 7 plays. I would think you'd have to throw something back at them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there'd be some exchange there. But you'd come out ahead. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that trade-down scenario would be incredible. Now, the issue is who's trading up for whom at this stage? But maybe, you know, maybe someone falls in love with one of these guys and a defender falls in their lap. Maybe somebody at in the early 20s goes, we need Caleb Downs as our missing piece. We're going to trade up there to go get him, to get ahead of Kansas City, to get ahead of whoever's picking 10, 11, 12. Maybe that's the thing. But I don't know that you get that haul. Just usually, again, it's associated with quarterbacks. But you've seen it in the past. I mean, it happened with Julio Jones. It's happened with a couple guys. But if that were to go down, I would be beyond thrilled. Move back a few spots and pick up something, and with an extra pick or two, maybe a second rounder, tickle me pink.
Yeah, just a quick look here. 9 and 29 doesn't get, I mean, that's way too rich for 7. 9-29 is the equivalent. I'm looking at a couple different charts here, but just for the equivalent, it's like 640 plus 1350. So it's we're talking about like 1900 plus draft points. The seventh is 1500. So you'd probably then have to give up, you know, a future early round pick. Just as an example, like your second round pick is worth about that this year. They don't have one, but 9-29 for 7, I would do that too. I just don't think the Chiefs would.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it takes two teams to make that trade, so that one's not that realistic. But I like the idea. You know, maybe it's 9 and their second-round pick, if they have one of those or something like that. Dez in Waldorf, what's good?
What's up, man? Hey, first, as a side note, did y'all see how it was kind of going viral? I don't know if it's still on there now, but Pro Football Focus, PFF, they had Ayuk as a commander.
So I did see that last night. Very odd. Yeah, people were trying to make that into like that they knew something. They didn't. I mean, it's a Freudian thing. It's a slip up. My guess is they saw so much of the noise, or like yesterday there were a few people that came out and said when he's released, he'll join the Commanders. And it was speculation. Yeah. And maybe somewhere along the way they just kind of clicked the wrong button.
Look, they're speaking it into existence. Now, I actually think it's going to happen, but I don't know that it's already done.
Well,
right?
It feels like the worst kept secret in football.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the. I think before free agency, and I love that we had such a great free agency, I think it was BPA, and I think it's still BPA. And the reason I say that is because there's a legit, like, it's not beyond the pale that after Mendoza goes one, that Baines, Bailey, Revis, Downs, and Styles aren't the next five picks. Like, those guys can be the next five. So at that point in time, it's like Love, Tate, whatever, you know what I'm saying, we need, I feel like those two would be the next best players available in the draft, and it would be a fool not to take them, especially now.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, again, the math works here. I was worried when they won that meaningless game at the end of the season before the draft board takes shape that everyone was patting themselves on the back
I'd still like to have five.
I'd much rather have five. But I'm going, I just don't want to be frozen out of the thing that they need because it was a combo of things. I feared a similar free agency to what they've had because I've seen two of them and it looked one way. This looks very different than the first 2 years. So assuage that fear. That's done. That's over. That's buried and dead. No problem. But the other part of it was, as you start to, you know, fill out a board, you look at team needs and you know, you're looking at every mock draft you can find, you go, all the line, such as it is, was at five. Damn it. And they missed out on blue chip Billy that really could have helped them. I now think the math is in their favor. So they're not really stung as bad by winning that meaningless game.
The only thing that could go badly is that the other teams could pick your guy. Meaning, you got six guys you really like. Mendoza goes one, and then you get the sixth of those guys. Whereas the five in front of you come off the board, and now it's, okay, they chose Downs for me. Or they chose whoever that is, like Arvell Reese. Whereas you'd like, in an ideal situation, to get to pick between a couple of guys yourself. This may be that they're just handed to you. Does Rashad White being signed today do anything to change the possibility of Jeremiah Love? Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We'll talk to Mike Florio coming up in 15 minutes. That's also when we're going to give away two tickets to see the Capitals right here on Grant and Danny. Thanks for listening to The Fan. We're on social. You can go follow us at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for yours truly. Humorous Danny on Instagrams. Whoever the Funny Danny is on Instagram doesn't post, doesn't do anything. It's like whoever Grant Paulson is on Twitter. The Grant H. Paulson is the guy you want. The regular Grant Paulson tweeted one time about Glenn Beck 15 years ago, and that's it.
Grant Paulson, yeah, IG is where you can go there as well. Putting all kinds of Commanders free agency content and things up. But we're talking about the seventh pick as it pertains to, you know, Washington and how they're going to go about that selection now that they've filled a bunch of vacancies. Has anything changed? I just don't think that the running back conversation is any different today. Rashad White is a piece that they added, and that's good, and he helps. But if you're taking Love, you're not taking Love because you needed a running back for this season. Now you're taking Love because it's a weapon that you just didn't feel like you could pass up over the next four or five seasons. And Rashad White doesn't change that. It's a one-year deal. If they signed Rashad White for 3 years and $24 million,
Then you go, okay, well, there's your RB1.
Yeah, there you go. So now you have a tight end that's like around and means something. This is a one-year deal. I still haven't seen the numbers, but I'm guessing it's a few million bucks. And like him and Bill are going to help you get by if need be. That is the beauty of the running back spot, in fairness. And that's why a lot of people don't think you should ever use a top 10 pick on it. If you told me right now they're rolling with these guys, I'd say fine. If you told me they're going to sign a Chris Rodriguez replacement who's like Chris Rodriguez, I'd say great. But if you throw Jeremiah Love into the mix, it's just now you have a chance to really have someone special and unique help you out there. But overall, I don't think anything has really changed other than the one difference right now for me is that it is less likely that they take an edge because they spent on three of them, even though two of those guys are on one-year deals and one of their other incumbent good players, Armstrong's on a one-year deal. So they could absolutely take one, and if Bailey or Reese are there, they probably will. I don't think those guys will be there, so I don't think you're going to go down the board to find the next group, whether that's Reuben Bain or anybody else.
I see that. I view it slightly differently. Maybe it's semantics, but I think they did the work at edge and at parts of their defense in case one of those edges didn't come to them. And again, Bain is the variable. I don't know what they think of him or how they view him. They could be... Because, you know, how much Peters loves the raw athletic scores. He's got those in spades, but then you don't know how traditional he is. Like, oh my God, his arms are too short. He's not a defensive end. Not for me, not ever. So I think they did that, what they did, in case one of those guys that they love doesn't get to them.
What would Reuben Bain play for them? I mean, it doesn't really mean, like, for this season, I know we're talking about longer term.
No, I know what you mean. Thing,
but like, for this year, where would he fit in? Like, if they drafted him, I would think you help. He helps stop the run. You kick him closer to inside. Maybe that means you're shopping Daron Payne.
Well, so I view it again.
Johnny Newton's in trouble. What does that mean?
Part of the appeal is the positionless nature of Durante Jones and company, right? I think that would translate to Bain as well. Where on passing downs, it's not Javon Kinlaw anymore. It's Reuben Bain, right? He's a glorified defensive tackle slash edge. To me, he's a disruptor. And I know that's like glossing over maybe his potential weaknesses, Grant, but that's how I think Jones would view him. Is I'd go, I don't have to worry that he's not a traditional defensive end because I don't care about traditional. I care that on passing downs, I don't have to watch Kinlaw get stood up, and I got a guy that's going to go bother people. If he's a D-tackle for me, if he's a 3-4 end, I don't care. On passing downs, I got a weapon. Maybe.
With his T-Rex arms.
With his little T-Rex yeah. big arms.
So I've picked up on the fact that we mentioned Jeremiah Love quite a lot on this show recently.
An understandable amount, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot.
A responsible amount of times.
He's just ranked, you know, number one on a lot of people's draft boards as the top player in the draft, aside from Fernando Mendoza. So I thought it'd be fun if we cooked up something kind of similar to the Ben Johnson alert, but instead, it's our Jeremiah Love alert.
I see what's happening. So I'm over Jeremiah loving it a bit.
That's the accusation.
There's a lot of it. Yes.
Is there an accusation of over Jeremiah loving
it? That's the accusation. To the point that we said, let's put something together.
So this is the new Ben Johnson alert for Jeremiah Love. All right, now, you better keep it close by. I'll just tell you that.
I have an alternate one, too. We have two different versions, so here's the other one.
You give me love, 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 love.
That's more...
I like that one better.
Yeah, there are songs about love. That's kind of your power ballad. That's a little glass of wine, roaring fireplace, bearskin rug.
If this is a challenge, like if you think this is going to get me to stop talking about Jeremiah Love, you're wrong. This is only going to make me love even more. No, I'm a romantic, if nothing else.
We knew that was going to be the case. That's why it's here. See what I'm saying? Like nothing's going to stop you.
What's my favorite day of the year?
Well, you got married on Valentine's Day.
I didn't, but close enough, February 10th. It's Valentine's Day because I am a... lover of love.
You give me love, 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 crazy love.
Jeremiah Love!
Love, love!
I don't recognize the last one. What's the last one?
That's Celine Dion, The Power of Love.
Oh. Not to be confused with Huey Lewis in the News, Power
say,
of
is
Love.
It the
There's
same
a lot
song?
Of Power of Love songs out
you
there.
You can't name the song the same. That definitely sounds like the most Joe Tessitore like home run hitting call where he just rips off a 71-yarder and he's like, Jeremiah Love, for goodness sake, he's got a family.
It was definitely like a 50-yard run that he right. broke for a touchdown.
Was it Tessitore?
So, yeah. Of course it was. Yeah.
Of course. Let's go to our buddy Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, Chris?
How about the theme from The Love Boat?
The Love Boat. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Exciting and new.
Darius will have it. Don't get me wrong. Darius is going to have a chance to play some other Jeremiah Love Sounders.
There's plenty.
We're just getting started talking about Jeremiah Love. Draft season looms.
If we draft another defensive lineman, I will have a conniption. Okay? Chase Young, Deron Payne, Allen.
By the way, congratulations to John Allen. He got paid 2 years, $28 million today by the Bengals.
How about that?
Okay. There is one player in the entire draft that I think is a can't-miss, unmistakable prospect, and that's Love. If he's there, you take him. No questions asked. Otherwise, I think they trade to recover some of these traded prospects they had in the past and picks.
Thank you, Chris. No,
appreciate you.
I don't share his intrigue in, like, how do I want to say this? If I'm on the clock, I'm not ruling out defensive linemen. I don't have rules. He's gone, you've done this too much. I don't want any more defensive linemen. What I do agree with him on is that the best player in the draft is Jeremiah Love. I do agree. Give me love, 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 love. Just a little bit. I don't even want a lot of love. I just need a teeny tiny bit is all I'm looking for. Let's go to Demarius in Maryland. Hey, Demarius.
Hey, Granddaddy, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I agree a lot with the last caller. I think when you look at the players in the draft, Love is the player that's going to raise the ceiling the most. I think he's going to I think Love helps us close the gap between the top teams in the NFC and, you know, where we currently are. I like, you know, edge rushers and D linemen, but I do think we've had a good enough free agency to where, you know, I think we should take a big swing at Love. I don't know what type of
Demarius, you like weapons, it sounds like. I used to have a co-host who loved weapons. I used to do a show with this guy named Danny Ruye.
Mm-hmm.
Did a Barkley impression. It was on Turner Sports at one point for it. And this guy was all about speed and weapons. Great guy to do a show with.
Danny Ruye.
What's up, Chuck? Miss you, buddy. Didn't get to do any Vandals this year, pal.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, they didn't call. Nothing doing.
I want you to get back in the saddle on the Fandle.
I do, too. Those checks cleared.
Those are good checks.
Those were nice checks. There were commas.
I'll bet there's big commas in those checks. G&D on the Fan. Mike Florio going to join us next. We'll go around the NFL with him.